Hi, I'm Jose. I pray that everything that comes out of my mouth is all for the glory of God. It's never easy discussing the person or the people that you have lost. I just want to take a few minutes and talk about what I have lived through and how God opened my eyes and my heart. My biological father left my mother when she was pregnant with me, and my mom struggled with alcoholism and drug addiction. Christ was rarely mentioned growing up except a few Bible stories at night from time to time. At age 5, I was molested several times by a teenage extended family member. I never reported or said anything because I thought that maybe it was normal. My mother would leave the house for days, leaving my brother and me to do whatever we wanted. I grew to be in control of my own life. During that time, I was roughly 7 to 8 years old. Sometimes my mother would take us to bars and clubs at night. I would see my mom talking to different men and bringing them home while we were there. I later understood that's how she made money to take care of us. One day, my mother dropped us off with some people she had only known for 6 months. She kissed us and said to us that she is going to go wash clothes, yet we didn't hear from her for another 3 years later. We were abused, starved, and locked in a room. Around age 9, I discovered pornography and became sexually active. At age 10, I was sent to a boys' ranch in East Texas with 80 other boys. Cut off from the world and not having any family, I grew angry and mad at a God that I didn't really know. I was moved into foster care. Over the next 7 years, I would live in 5 different foster homes. Because I lacked any kind of father figure in my life, I don't think I ever had a real clear idea of how the God who created me loves me and wants to be intimately involved in my life and deeply connected with me. That part just didn't make sense. Psalm 10:14 says, "But you, God, sees the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless." I wasn't to meet that God for many years, and so I continued to live life on my own terms, getting by on my own strength and understanding. I was in my 3rd foster home that I got a call that my biological mom had passed away. My anger grew more intense because nothing was ever stable in my life. I had no one to rely on and no foundation in Christ, and I couldn't trust anyone. I was 12 years old with no mother and no father and nobody to call family. I was heartbroken. I isolated myself from anybody who tried to help me, not knowing who was truly there to help me, there to help or there only to put me down. I grew resentful towards God because I had never had that happy family like every child I saw growing up had. I didn't know then that God had a plan for my life. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." During my last foster home at age 17, I was in high school and was pulled from class. My CPS worker showed up. This meant one of two things. Either I was being moved to another foster home or I had done something wrong. The question she asked me blew me away. She asked if I would like to get adopted by one of the families that had fostered me in the past. I quickly answered yes. Then I asked her whether my last name would change from Luna to Donahue. She replied, "Yes. First name Jose, last name Donahue. This should be interesting trying to explain how I ended up with an Irish last name." Sometimes it takes months or years for an adoption to be finalized. It took less than a week for the adoption to become final, a week before my 18th birthday. Being loved like this was hard for me to comprehend. Where did this kind of love come from? With as much as I've been through and with everything I had done, why would someone take me in and love me? The Donahue family who had fostered me and was now adopting me had told me about Jesus and that he had paid for all my sins on the cross. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That the God of the universe wanted me so much that he allowed his own perfect son to be offered up as a sacrifice and atonement for the sins of mankind, for my sins. To a boy who felt unloved and unwanted and unredeemable for most of my life, this was the most wonderful news I had ever heard. At age 15, I accepted God's free gift and made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. My new earthly father demonstrated my heavenly father's unconditional love for me. I quickly grew to love my mom and dad. From the age of 15 to age 26, I knew the Lord and was saved, but I wanted to continue to indulge in my flesh and the desires of the world. Instead of the Lord, I had one foot inside the church and my other foot outside the church. I couldn't quite trust the Lord with every aspect of my life. I still couldn't believe that he would be faithful in any circumstance. So much had been taken from me over such a short time that I couldn't let go of the need to control. I would eventually come to realize that he was holding me up all the time and that I didn't really have any control of anything. I got married to my beautiful bride, Norma, on June 23rd, 2012, but I wasn't willing to turn away from the sin that my Savior had died to set me free from. What I could never have anticipated over the next 4 years was that God was getting ready to move me to a place of total dependence and surrender to him. On September 7, 2012, while on a cruise with my family, I heard my name announced to come to the cruise office with my wife and kids. There was a phone call waiting for me from a police detective. My heart dropped, not knowing what was about to be said. He told me that my father had been murdered in my apartment. The next day, we would be back on land. For the next 24 hours, I waited and prayed for what was to come for my family and me. I immediately went to the police department and then was taken to the scene of the crime. Those memories will forever live in my head. Those images of the blood and the details of what happened. Anger built up, and forgiving whoever did this was an option that never, ever even entered my mind. Later, we found out that it was three men we knew, including a family member who was in on it. I lost a part of me when I lost my dad. He loved everyone and was a man of God. I started having suicidal thoughts, and one night put my gun to my mouth. Feeling convicted and knowing that adding yet another tragic death to my family's crushing grief was not what God would have wanted me to do, I put my gun away and prayed. I prayed that he would take all my burdens away and the hurt. He answered my prayer through community and regeneration and the time I was spent reading his scripture. I was invited to attend regeneration by a couple of my community group who had just finished the 12 steps. This sounded great and everything, but did I want to invest my time into this recovery thing? I knew I needed life changing, not a here and there change. But my anger and control, along with my addiction to pornography, were brewing and increasing. So I started attending Region. To those of you who are attending Grief Share to find hope in your grief, I commend you. God will meet you where you are, and he is faithful. I encourage you to keep coming back to see what he wants to reveal to you about his character and his deep, deep love for you. Because my grief and my addictions were so closely connected, I chose to attend Regeneration. That's when I truly understood that despite how my circumstances looked, God was good and faithful, and he loved me with a never-ending love like no mere human being ever could. I remember walking into Regeneration the first time, seeing people singing and sharing their sin struggles and talking about it biblically. This was strange because I thought keeping everything in the dark and not saying anything was the norm. I committed to the process and walked with 15 other men and two co-leaders who helped me dig deep into the roots of my sin. In step four, inventory, while in regeneration, I got to focus on myself instead of sin of others. I knew I couldn't change in one day, but over time I learned to trust God. Learn to forgive others, and when tempted, I can run to scripture and godly men instead of porn, etc. I was able to open up and talk about my father's murder, losing a mom, and even the grief associated with not having a loving, supporting family as a young boy. I learned with the help of my region group how to view all these losses through the Bible, what the Bible said, and not to deal with the pain by coping in ways that would hurt me and others. I was being loved and cared for as the men contacted me each week. Again, God showing me I am loved and that He has a plan. Step 5, confess, is where I learned to bring whatever is in the darkness and bring it to the light. But then I got to step 8, forgive. I had to ask, could it be that I had to forgive that man that killed my father? I continued to struggle with that because I was stuck on an eye for an eye, taught in the Old Testament. I began to understand that Christ changed that through the cross and resurrection. He had actually died for the sins of the men who killed my dad. Whether or not they chose to accept His forgiveness was up to them. When I was honest with myself, I had to take into account the fact that I had been forgiven for a lot. My parents had chosen to overlook my past when they adopted me. And most importantly, the primary example of grace in my life was my own wife, Norma. You see, during the inventory process, I came to the point to where I knew I had to confess to her not only my struggle with pornography, but several infidelities I had committed during our short marriage. As much as I wanted to take this to the grave, God was telling me to confess and ask for forgiveness. This was way out of my comfort zone, to trust God this much and to allow Him to be the Lord of my life. I was expecting a divorce or a slap to the face, but was extended grace by my wife with a hug and a kiss and was told that I was forgiven. She hasn't used it against me or brought it up since then. So on July 30th, 2015, I had the opportunity to see my father's killer face to face while he was being sentenced to life in prison without parole. I'm so blessed that I had two great leaders in regeneration in my community group to share the truth about God's forgiveness for us daily and that everybody in Christ can receive forgiveness. I was encouraged by one of the women in my community group to take advantage of this opportunity and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the judge, the district attorney, the defense attorneys, and others in the courtroom got to hear about Jesus Christ and what He has done in my life. I told him at one point I wouldn't have been able to forgive him, but now that I know the truth, I looked at the man and told him I forgave him and that I loved him, and that I hope he gets to know Jesus like I have. I just saw him crying. Who could forgive somebody for such a sin? Me? Never. God? 100%. By himself, man cannot change, but with God, all things are possible. As life is today, I'm not perfect and I will never be. There are days when temptation is strong and then there are days that I fall. But one thing I know is not to isolate myself anymore. I promptly confess my sin and repent. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If somebody would have told me that I would be co-leading a group before I went through regeneration, I would have asked, what are you smoking or what are you on? Now I co-lead a group of men in regeneration and has been a total blessing from the start. As a father to a 19-year-old son and a 17-year-old daughter, I am learning to love them as Christ loves me and to walk with them and shepherd them towards Christ daily. The truth I want my kids to know is that they are loved and most important, that Christ loves them no matter where they are and their walk with Him. As for my marriage, I can honestly say that our relationship is grown and God deserves all the glory. My wife is my better half and she has walked by my side the whole time during the good and the bad. Our community group of 3.5 years has been a blessing to us. They remind and show us that God never leaves us and will never forsakes us. He loves me even when I run or turn from Him. And He always has His arms open wide when I come back with no rejection. I learned that I'm not in control of everything. He is. Yet He lets me be part of His plan. I acknowledge that my identity is not in porn, isolation, anger, my grief, my pride, or my past, but it's in Christ. If you're here for the first or 100th time, welcome. Know that God loves you no matter what. I know many of you are in deep, deep pain, and it can feel like it'll never end. All I can tell you is that no matter what your circumstances tell you, God is good. He wants a relationship with you. Trust and follow him, and you'll be amazed what he will show you and how he will change you. Thank you.